Mary had a little lamb. Her fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, her lamb was sure to go.
Ah, yes.
You're listening to the Power Gold Podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Jim Youngkin. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Word Gold podcast, episode number 74. I'm your host, Jim Youngkin, along with our special guest, Reckles. Hello, Reckles.
Hello, hello.
Let's go ahead and jump right into the show. I'm so excited to have you here, Reckles.
I'm excited to be here.
You are one of my favorite new bloggers that has started blogging about gold making in the last while. So I was really excited that you're able to come on this show. Just to start off with, I'm going to go ahead and let people know how they can get a hold of me. I'm Jim Youngkin from Power Word Gold, and you can find our blog and podcast over at powerwordgold.net. You can find us on our live streams, which you can catch at, head over and subscribe at twitch.tv/JimYounkin, Younkin. You can find us at youtube.com/PowerWordGold. Subscribe there. You can like and interact with us on facebook.com/PowerWordGold and Twitter. Our Twitter handle is PowerWordGold. And we're proud to announce. Kind of proud to announce. Well, I'll tell you why in here in a second. That we have a new URL for our Google Plus account, which we still, after all these years, I still don't know how the crap to use Google Plus.
Circles.
I know. I have circles. I did the circles, but all my circles are from like when it, like the first month I used it. Okay.
You just click circles. That's what you do.
It's just, anyways, it's google.com. I'm going to tell people google.com/plus, the plus sign. So weird. Power Word Gold Net. So let me see if that's where, google.com/plus That's kind of stupid that they did that. Power Word Gold Net. Anyways, I'm going to try to learn how to use Google. Like, the problem I have with Google Plus is, how do I send messages to people? Because I like to thank people that circle me, but it's not super...
I told you, you click circles. That's what you do. You
just click
a
circle.
All right. There's a message circle?
I think the way you have to do it is you have to send... You have to put a post up with them and make it private so that they're the only person that receives it. It's just, I don't know. It's such a big mess. Anyways.
Circles.
You can also find us at poweredgold.tumblr.com. We need more Tumblr people over there. I think we have like 3 people that follow us there, but we have fun posting on there. And I think that's going to do it for that. Reckles, how can people find more from you?
Well, my main blog is wanttobuygold.blogspot.com. That's WTB Gold. And you can find me on Twitter at Ryan A. Eccles. That's E-C-K-L-E-S. I'm also on Tumblr at WTB Gold. And I'm also on the Circles. But I don't know what my circle is on Google Plus.
You don't you don't have enough clout score to get your Google Plus to give you a URL.
Yeah, I think I have one person I'm connected to. Add me on there. I don't know how to use it yet.
Trust me, I've been in Google Plus since the beta, and it's just never been easy to understand. But
I do have a YouTube channel that I'm growing and that I'm excited about and that I'm really starting to do, starting to add more videos with that I'm starting to focus on a lot more. And that is WTB Gold WoW. Because WTB Gold was already taken. But, yeah.
All right. So, awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show, like I already mentioned. Let us go ahead and first we're going to get into some shout-outs.
Okay.
So, since you're a guest, do you want to go ahead and give your shout-outs first?
Sure. I'd like to thank a couple of people. First of all, I want to thank you for getting me started blogging. You sent me the first post that got me started blogging. I wanted to thank Undermine Journal, Thunderheart for always retweeting me, Salty Saz, Stoppable Force, the lovely Nev AH, and Ella Fiegel.
I love Ella Fiegel. He's a good looking guy. I like looking
at his... he knows his pets too.
I like looking at his Twitter icons.
Well, that's just creepy. So.
He's a good looking guy, don't you think? I think so.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and give some Twitter shout outs. sorry, were you done?
No, yeah, I was done.
Okay. Okay. and we'll give some shout outs to, these are the Twitter shout outs to Fabulosity, Aldred Eccles. Who? You. Vorkinless, Jared McCormick, E7F, Dan Durkee, Chris Wellwow, Eric Decker, Sap You, thanks for making fun of my computer. Drew, Corey Saunders, Rathgar, Sushi CTR, and I always have to mess up at least one of these. Hold on, let me get it right here. It's a new one. Oh yeah, Florian Reese. There it is. I didn't capitalize the last R, so. So that's Twitter shoutouts. Thanks to everybody else who interacts with us on Twitter, who, you know, retweets and stars stuff, and you guys are all awesome. For Facebook shoutouts, Corey, William, Dennis, Robert. Who's this one? Stu, Chris. Oh wait, no, that's not what. Yeah, Steve. Sorry, not Chris, not Stu. Chris. Ken, Carol, Jonas, Julia, Jeff, Benjamin, and everybody else who interacts with us on Facebook. It's kind of weird going from Twitter to Facebook because like it's like handles mixed in with real names and they're just like, John, Jacob, Jingleheimer. But everybody on Facebook, it's really awesome. You guys are awesome as well. So we get some really fun interactions going on there. So that is shout outs. Yay. Yay for community. Yay for followers and audience members and readers and listeners and viewers and all that.
Y'all awesome. Are why we do this. Thank you.
Exactly. All right. So just to start off the show, I wanted to make sure that I – oh, good. I was just making sure I started my timer, and I did. I wanted to go ahead and ask you – a little bit more about yourself, Reckles, because for a lot of people, this might be the first time that they're hearing about you. Do you want to talk a little bit about kind of what got you into making gold and then also what got you into writing about gold online, blogging?
Sure. Well, I started playing back in Lich King probably, I don't really know when. It was back in the middle of Lich King, I think. I was completely newbie. I had a warrior that was wearing, you know, leather agility gear. Sweet. And yeah.
That's some crit right there.
OP. OP.
OP crit. Crit gear.
And, it was, you know, I always was mining, and I was the wealthiest person in my guild. I had 500 gold, nice. I remember. And I just enjoyed the gold-making aspect of the game. But I didn't really know what to do. I had a good time. I was GM of my little social guild, and I got into the raiding aspect of the game. I've always been kind of a raider, but left the social guild, got into a raiding guild because the social guild just couldn't raid.
Goodbye, friends. You're not good enough for me anymore. I'll put my alt in as guildmaster, but I'm not going to be paying attention to you guys.
How did you know?
That's exactly what happens, I'm telling you.
It was sad. But it was just one of those decisions where I wasn't having any fun anymore. So about the time Firelands came out was when I started really raiding and progressing and having a fun time in WoW, and got better, and then Dragon Soul came around, and I started really maxing out my professions and started really crafting every day and started using Undermine Journal and started taking advantage of all the tools available and started reading your blog and started, oh, hey, look, here's things that I can do to make gold, and oh, I can craft rather than posting all these little tiddly things every day. I can post one epic, and if this one epic sells, I just made 30,000 gold rather than posting 200, you know, ore that, you know, I can make the same amount off one epic. So that was kind of my intro to gold making. I didn't really take it seriously until Pandaria came around, honestly. And that's also about the time I started blogging about it. I took the experience I had of reading about it and learning about it and testing for 3-4 years and just culminated it all and started writing it down. And honestly, that's when my gold started growing. I started blogging with about 200K, and within about 4 months, I almost hit gold cap, and then bad things happened.
Uh-oh. Bad things happen when you almost hit gold cap.
Yeah. 5.4 launched and my computer just stopped working.
It's like, I give up. I had that happen. I had an SSD like crash, and I was so mad at my SSD like failing, even because it was so expensive. This is in like 2008, that I just like, I didn't even reinstall the software, the OS, because I had the OS on one and I had my data on another, so the SSD where the OS and some of my apps were, and oh, I just got so pissed. I just stopped using my computer for 6 months and just played like Xbox 360. Played lots of Modern Warfare.
That's a good game. Yeah, for me, what pretty much ended up happening, for anyone who's been following my blog, for 5.4, I did a preparation post countdown to 5.4. It's still, if you're looking for a good way to make gold, it's still a pretty good sum up of how to make gold mm-hmm. in with the new patch. But it's I had like stacks and stacks of everything possible, you know, guild banks full of everything, and then 5.4 dropped, and you know how you can control scroll to post, you know, mm-hmm. a bag full of everything in about 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. Well, normally it's like 100 things posted, 200 things posted. Well, for me, it was scroll, and it would just automatically pause and re-scan for about 3 seconds.
Ooh, wow.
And it was like 1001, 1002, 1003, one thing posted. 1001, 1002, 1003, two things posted.
So it would take one thing posted.
Yeah, it would take 15 to 30 minutes to post one bag full.
That'll demotivate you.
Yeah, so for the first 2 days of patch 5.4, I only posted 3 bags full.
Mm.
It was painful. But, so I didn't post anything for the first month of 5.4.
Mm-hmm.
But, I still enjoyed the patch, nonetheless.
Yes. Nice. Well, I had, you know, you had been a live stream viewer, and you had been Twitter, and so it was cool to see you start to blog, because then I was able to follow that and get like, oh, there's some really, you know, he's putting out some really quality information here. This is good, because, you know, having been kind of watching the blogging space for gold making for the last couple of years and keeping a directory and knowing like who's blogging and who's not, it's not really a big deal for somebody to, I mean, it is good for people to start blogs. It's not that big of a deal for them to start the blog, because I know, like, you know, they say that if you can get past 3 months in your blog, you'll possibly keep it going. You'll more likely chance you'll keep it going. But, you know, the main thing is just the quality of the posts. And anybody out there that's thinking about starting a gold blog, like, you know, besides my tips of, you know, which you didn't follow, of don't use like letters in your, well, I guess you did. He did follow it, but, you know, picking a good name for your blog is one thing, but that's just the step. The first step, the main advice I give to people is just write, like write. Like, cause that's really what's going to give you the, you know, going to get you the following is good quality content. And you can adjust your layouts of your blog and all that stuff later, but writing is really the key to blogging. So that was really exciting for me when I was able to see you, because there's been lulls and, you know, in the gold blogging space as it stands. So it is nice to see those few people. And for you, at least in my mind, you kind of hit that point where you are still writing good content when a lot of other people, myself included, weren't necessarily posting stuff as often. So yeah, I'm glad to have you here.
Yeah, it was great to get all the
dog pile of
all the support. There was just a lot of support that I wasn't really expecting out of nowhere, but I've put a lot of heart mm-hmm. into the posts. Yep. And that was the big thing. I felt like the posts that there were one or two posts that I didn't put a lot of heart into, mm-hmm. and those were the ones that no one cared about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think anyone who is thinking about blogging, like, if you genuinely like put a lot of time and effort into your posts and like think about them and put your soul into them, then people will pick up on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that there's, you know, just having been blogging for quite a while now, there's definitely room for different types of posts, but, you know, people will definitely gravitate towards the ones that give them, and a lot of times for people that are blogging, like, don't care about the comments, because a lot of times if nobody comments on your post, it's because you said everything that needed to be said and there's nothing more to say. So,
what? No, totally take every comment to heart.
Well, some people think if there's no comments, then obviously nobody read it. But. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into the main part of the show, Reckles. How about that?
All right.
All right. So first off, we're going to start off with our simple tip and trick. This is something that you can learn, hopefully, about gold making that's very simple. And if you don't retain anything else from this podcast, hopefully you'll remember this. And this is a nice tip I got from one of my live stream viewers. I don't remember who. One of the awesome things about live streaming is that you have people that are way smarter than you and your audience. And so I was moving a bunch of items into my bank, and somebody told me about this command. It's using Trade Skill Master, so you have to have Trade Skill Master. I think it probably uses warehousing, so you have to, is warehousing still in there? Yeah. Anyways, if you have all the add-ons for Trade Skill Master, this will work. So when you have the bank open, you type this command, /TSM /put, P-U-T, and then you put a, and then you shift click one of your items, say like in your bag. So if you shift click one of your items in your bag, it will insert that item link into your chat box. So your chat will look like /TSM space put space, then it'll have an item link like Ghost Iron Ore or something like that. You hit enter and it will start putting all of the Ghost Iron Ore out of your bags into your bank tab. That's pretty cool. also, there's another command called /TSM get. So you might be able to guess what this does. Do you want to guess what this does?
I'm guessing it gets it. It does the opposite.
It gets it. So if you do /TSM get, and then you shift click, say, like an item in your bank, say, like netherweave cloth, hit enter, it will get all your netherweave cloth in that tab into your bags. So you can also macro these for some reason if you, I don't know, like you put a particular one type of item in there or something like that, but I just type them out because it's really quick. I might make macros for, like, say my engineer, if I want to put and get Ghost Iron bars in and out of the bank. So maybe I have need to have bag space, but I want to get some bars. Usually I don't do it I use it for things like getting ore out and then smelting it while I'm like not AFK, but you know, smelting it while I'm doing something else. And then usually it's like on my phone or something. And then when I'm done, I have to go put it all back in the bank. So that can save you a lot of mouse clicks. So /TSM put and /TSM get. And I'm sure there's people out there that are saying, well, of course you can set up groups and you can use warehousing to move groups and stuff like that. And you can do that. But this is just a nice little simple tip that you don't have to set up anything to do and you can do it on the fly.
I wonder if you can do /TSM put and then type in like /80 and only put 80.
That's an interesting idea. I don't
or
know.
Or after.
I might have to try it out.
That would be a extension.
There are options in warehousing to set up. I think there's even operations for pulling a certain amount out. So that might be end up what you would do if you wanted to get like a certain amount. But all right. So that's the simple tip and trick. Now on with the show. All right. Now on to our topics. So we have a few topics that we wanted to talk about here. And the first one that I wanted to talk about, you had mentioned was the crafted engineering mount, which still looks freaking awesome. I like whenever I see people walking around with it, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. It's the Sky Golem, which is created by engineering. It takes 30 days of Jard's peculiar energy source daily cooldowns. And I think the other material is 30 living steel bars?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I think you posted this on Twitter from the PTR first. A while
back. Yeah.
Posted a video.
I didn't actually make the video, but I did post a video that somebody else had put up. So this Sky Golem is really cool, So let's talk about this, Reckles. What do you think about this as a gold making endeavor? Do you participate in this, or have you had any experience with this?
I think at this point in the game, Living Steel has dropped low enough that if you're on a medium pop or a low pop server, it's still a viable gold making opportunity. If you're on a high pop server, forget about it. No. They're
new on Hulu. Forget about it.
Yeah. And I'm looking at Storm Rage. They're selling for 38,000. There's so much competition. Mm-hmm. Illidan, 38,000. What's the cheapest we got? Yeah, 30K on Proudmoore. No, you're not. No.
Now, it does take. Does the energy source take 20 bars or 10 bars? I can't remember. I think it's 10 to make a daily cooldown of it.
I don't remember. That engineering is one of, I think it's the only thing I haven't leveled yet, but One of the most interesting things that I thought about this whole Sky Golem phenomenon, though, was when they first came out. And the day one and day two release was just this absolutely perfect log curve of high pop to low pop pricing. It was absolutely phenomenal. The high pop servers were selling at 60K, and the low pop servers were selling at 400 to 500K, and it was just this absolutely perfect logarithmic curve all the way down in this absolutely perfect straight line. I've never seen anything like it on the Undermine Journal in any pricing curve. In fact, can we just take a moment of silence for mathematical curves?
Perfect.
Okay, curves. Okay. Moment of silence accomplished.
So I like guys that have good looking avatars on Twitter, and you like mathematical curves.
I do.
That's a good looking mathematical curve. Damn, look at that mathematical curve. Curves.
it was amazing. The only thing that was more interesting than that to me was that it was kind of sad almost, was that if you go back and you look at the 20 or 25 least populated realms, the ones that were selling them, the ones that did have engineers craft them and sell them, they were selling them.
Now, we should also say here that this is just posting, not necessarily sales. This is the price that people are posting them for, right? Or are these complete?
Posted and selling.
Okay.
The ones that were posted and sold were going for 400 and 500K, but then more often than not, about 80% of these servers didn't have anything up for another 5 or 6 days, yeah. Which just makes me, it's really sad.
It's poor little butt out for this. We're going to talk about connected realms a little bit in the future.
Yeah. It kind of brings us up to the connected realms issue in a little bit, where, you know, they didn't have enough engineers.
Yeah, because that might have been the only Sky Golem on the auction house for a week, and people that had the money that just wanted to get it and show it off before everybody else, the person that wanted to stand in Stormwind walking around with giant growth potions in their Sky Golem.
Or they just sold it over Trade Chat because there were only 10 people and they knew someone rather than post it on the auction house. It's just, I just thought that was a really interesting point. Just the pure, it's, you know, there's so many realms that the curves, the distributions of pricing are usually pretty scattered, but this was such a pure curve.
Yeah.
That it was really fantastic.
It just goes to show you that, you know, that's one of the reasons why reading up on what's coming up can really net you that benefit, because those limited time offers, those blue light specials, that time when you're only going to get one chance to sell your pet or, you know, some item at a certain price. Somebody on the live stream had mentioned that they had known about these and had actually planned ahead by leveling 3 engineers and dutifully doing their cooldowns every day for 30 days. And imagine that. They had 3 Sky Golems on the launch of the Sky Golem Day. So ready to go. And they sold them, I think they sold the first one for 70,000, the next one for 50 or 60,000, and then, you know, and then it kind of went from there. But they'll have another 3 in another 30 days. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things for me. 5.4, I thought, well, for 5.3, I leveled up an extra leather worker, because I'm like, oh, you know, leather working, you know, magnificent hides might be cool. And it was kind of nice to have another another person to do leather working to have magnificent hides. And magnificent hide prices did spike up a little bit on my server. But the person that's able to look ahead and prepare ahead 30 days on three, you know, because it's at that point, it's not really, it's pretty negligible time. You know, after you get your engineers leveled up, obviously, it's negligible to log in and do, you know, I log in and do multiple profession cooldowns. Multiple people, so that person really benefited from their pre-planning, and I just thought that's more pre-planning than I've done. Like I mentioned before the show, I think I'm at 20 as far as jars for peculiar energy sources, which you shamed me for, saying like, "Oh, you're dead." Okay, so let's talk the raw mats for this Sky Golem. I have my calculator here, so it takes 300 ghost iron bars, and they're selling right now on my server for 7.2, so that's about 2,000, and then obviously the ghost or the living steel's been selling right around 500, maybe a little bit under on my server, so that's 15,000. So we're looking at mats on my server of just like 17,000. Not really that much, but as far as pricing for the Sky Golems, one thing to remember is that we are near the end of the expansion, and you know, somebody kind of got on me on Twitter about, well, we're not quite that close to the end of the expansion. Was that you? I think that might have been you. I don't know. But I think that just think about how much Sky Golems are going to go for next expansion. Like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I try to think about that. Like, I wonder. It doesn't seem like prices for choppers have necessarily spiked, and I don't think prices for Vial of the Sands
hasn't dropped at all.
Yeah, they haven't dropped, but they also seem like they haven't really gone up that much. But so I wonder if that's the same thing that'll happen with the Sky Golem. But if there's some sort of conflict with the cooldowns, imagine how much if an engineer has to do something else and their cooldown is kind of tied up, kind of how the living steel. See, I get like all this. Yeah, I'm getting mixed up into all these cooldowns and theories, but
I'm really curious to see what will happen with the 502 weapons once they transfer from, like right now they're used for raiding.
Mm-hmm.
Once they transfer over to transmog,
those are the reborn weapons.
Yeah, the reborn weapons.
Yeah,
because like they are fantastic transmog weapons. Once they transfer over to that category, will they still be worth 20,000?
Yeah, I have a lot of obsession with doing these cooldowns, but I don't necessarily always do stuff with the stuff I do the cooldowns with. Like, I have like so much true gold in my bank. I mean, I've started to sell it off, but I made it all in the last expansion, and I just kept stockpiling it. I'm like, oh, it's not at the sale price I want. And so I ended up with a lot. And a lot of times sometimes those mats can go for more in the next expansion when nobody is making them, because in that case, I think that living steel and true gold share a cooldown. So in order for somebody to make true gold, they have to sacrifice a living steel cooldown, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But as far as it stands right now, I have two engineers that I've been working, and I'm going to probably, you know, I'm going to make myself a mount for sure for myself, and then the other person will probably be making a pet. So I want the little bad robot, rascal bot. I don't know if you've seen it, but
oh yeah.
Yeah, bad robot. So I'm pretty excited about that little guy. So it turns out my cooldowns might end up being used for me, but I might still, I don't know, because I think the little guy is going for like 15,000, which is actually, you know, 7,000 gold profit if you kind of count that it takes. Well, I mean, actually, it'll be half of a Sky Golem, so it'll be about 7.5. Oh, that's selling for a map price. Oops. No. 15,000 in the. No, 7,500. I got it. 7,500 for a rascal bot. But sometimes, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, like, but at some point, like, you're trying to make gold, but sometimes certain things happen where you're like, I don't really need that gold. Like, say I make 7,000 off the rascal bot. I'm like, but I kind of like it. I'd rather just have it as a pet. So you just like, But you know, that usually only happens after you've gone up a little bit more in the gold total, so that you don't have to. You know, I don't know. I still penny pinch copper pinch, whatever you want to saw, even though people are like, what do you do with all your gold? I'm like, I don't do anything with it. I save it. That's why I have it. All right. Anything
at
else?
At this point, I don't really.
Anything else you wanted to talk about for the Sky Golem? Sky Golem?
They look fantastic when they're flying. And their head comes down and they're awesome.
I do believe that they can gather herbs without dismounting, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So if you are not a druid, use this.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I wonder if it works with the foragers gloves, because that gives you that 1.5 second cooldown for gathering herbs. Does it have its own 1.5 second, or is it 3 seconds?
Foragers gloves and the mount doesn't stack.
So when you're on the mount, you do a 3 second cast for gathering. No.
Wait. Wait. Does it not? Oh, it doesn't dismount you.
Yeah, it doesn't dismount you.
Oh. But it doesn't decrease. I'm sorry. I thought it decreased your speed.
The golem. So the so the gloves don't work. Okay.
Cancel all that out. That's bad
information. Okay, so they might work. I'm going to go.
Cut that. That's bad info.
Let's cut that out. All right. So I wanted to talk a little bit about something that me and April, this is kind of a little secret topic, and then we'll get into it. We got our sponsor coming up. Me and April found out something pretty cool. She had some level 85, 86 characters that she wanted to level up, and we were doing like Timeless Isle at a 85. Like I was on a 90 and she's on 85, and that was all right.
Okay.
That was all right. But what we found out was actually even better for leveling her was flying around Pandaria and collecting all of the lost treasures with the add-on Lost Treasures, which shows you on your mini-map, and also it shows you all the little collectible things like weapons and all the little gray items that you sell for a couple, and sometimes they're like 100 gold, and killing rares. So.
Yes.
That was good. So what we did was we flew around the whole Christmas. We flew around all of Pandaria, getting her the lost treasures, which gave like a couple hundred thousand, killing rares. And the cool thing, so that was really good XP for leveling her. But the cool thing that we found out, I was a sandstone drake. So she's obviously can't fly yet, but she could get on my back and fly around. You can gather herbs while you're on another character's back. As a sandstone drake. So she is an herbalist, and so we were able to fly around and gather herbs, and I would just land close enough to the herb for her to just click on it. She would gather it, and then we would just fly off. And she got XP for that as well. So it's a little bit...
Wow.
It's really specialized because you're only going to need to do it like if the person needs some XP and you're both sitting. So like, you know, two people flying around gathering would be better than one person on one person's back. But it was pretty cool that she could gather herbs and get some XP, because we were already doing like rares, and sometimes we'd stop and gather herbs. And so she hit level 90 on her character, though. And we started the
congratulations.
We started the next one for her as well. Okay. So that's a nice little tip. All right, let's go ahead and take a break here to talk about our sponsor. The sponsor for this episode of the Power Word Gold podcast is the Power Word Gold Guides, which are our guides to making gold in World of Warcraft. We have two different guides, the Power Word Gold Guide Volume 1, which is a 130-page guide to making gold with add-ons. And we also have the Power Word Gold Guide Volume 2, which is a 75-page guide to making gold in Mista Pandaria. The price for these guides are $5, $10, $15, or $20, four different prices. They all purchase the same guides. We just leave it up to you to decide which price you'd like to pay to support us and support the podcast by purchasing the guides. To purchase those guides, head over to powerwordgold.net and look for the purchase links on the sidebar. There's a banner ad there, and also there's a store link at the top of the page. And we're happy to announce you can purchase the guide with PayPal if that's your preferred method. So we're pretty excited about that. So thanks to everybody who purchases the guide and supports Power Word Gold in the podcast. We really appreciate it. All right. And if you are interested in sponsoring the Power Word Gold podcast, we do accept sponsorships. If you want to get your product or service in front of the beautiful, intelligent Power Word Gold listening audience, send us a message to powerwordgold@yahoo.com and we'll talk to you more about sponsoring the show. We'd love to have other sponsors because we don't mind sponsoring our own show, but we would love to have other people sponsor the show. All right. All right. Are you good? Do you need a break? Are we?
No, I'm good to go.
Good to go. Good to go. All right. I'm going to take a drink really quick here. All right, Reckles. Let's talk about some of your expertise that you have been sharing with the masses here over the last while. Some of my favorite posts that you've been doing recently have been talking about the Timeless Isle. I don't know if you were there the first day I started on the Timeless Isle. I kind of came to it late, but I've kind of made up for lost time by like leveling.
Fantastic. I'm glad you.
All my characters are full epic geared now from the Timeless Isle. All 11 of them are pretty much full. Well, it gets pretty easy because you get like so many extras. So,
And didn't you not have a 90 for the longest time?
Huh? Yes.
Did you not have a 90 for the longest time? Congratulations.
Yeah, now I have 11 level 90s, so. Woo! No, I didn't have a 90 because I was, there's a series I did on YouTube, a 45-hour series called Hunter versus Pandaria, where I pretty much, I read every single quest, quest text, and I did every single quest in Jade Forest, Valley of the Four Winds, Krasarang, and Kunlai Summit. And I got to level 90. So I recorded it all. It's all on YouTube. There's a playlist if you want to go check it out. If you want to just, it's a really cool experience because a lot of times we blow through the quests and we don't actually even read them. So having somebody else read them for you is kind of cool. And I zoom in on the character and so you can see the quest text in the character. It's pretty cool. But that's why I didn't get a level 90 for quite the long time was because I didn't want anybody else to level past my hunter, so.
Okay.
But I made up for it. I had 10 level 80s in Wrath, and I had 10 level 80s. 11? Cataclysm? When did monks come out? No, I had 10 level 80s, one of every class in Cataclysm, and then I have 11 level 80, or sorry, 85s, and you know what I mean. 11 level 90s. And now, I'm so excited. We're going to talk about Connector Realms. But now, first, let's talk about the Timeless Isle. You did a few posts about some of the experimentation and possibilities of making gold on the Timeless Isle. Do you want to talk a little bit about that with the caveat that it's not necessarily the best way to do things, but if you're just going for pure gold per hour, but do you want to talk a little bit about some of the possible ways people can make some money while they happen to be on the Timeless Isle?
Sure. Well, I started off the journey talking about the pets you could get on the Timeless Isle. 5.4 introduced 20 new battle pets, and you know you can get them from rares and LFR and
damn you, Garnia.
Normal mode.
Damn you, Garnia.
Garnia never dropped. Never dropped.
I actually started summoning people up there on my warlock, so they're pretty happy about that.
I know. What's funny? If you go to Warcraft pet, Warcraft pets. The guy who's number one, he like all he does is collect pets. He has Tyrael's. Tyrael's guy. The only thing he doesn't have is not Garnia, the Siegecrafter Blackfuse, the bombling.
Mm.
That's the only pet he doesn't have. So not Garnia. Damn you, Siegecrafter Blackfuse. Never drops. So I went in to go there. The pets are great, but they've kind of dropped down in value to where it's not really. It's not really great. If you're out in the Timeless Isle, go try to kill Garnia, sure.
Uh-huh.
you know, Little Bling is great if you're ever around a Blingtron. Yeah. There is a Little Bling that drops.
I finally made mine. So now every day I have a macro that says, Blingtron going down in Dwarven District by the bank. And everybody, I just wait, and like all of a sudden it just gets swarmed. Well, it doesn't get swarmed. Like four or five people come up and use it. I'm happy
Little Bling is adorable. Go get him.
My wife ended up spending like $900 on him just to buy him because she wanted him.
And
so what are some of the, if someone's on the aisle, can you tell me some of the things to do? Because my wife got one from the brew event for the beer. She also just got one from collecting eggs randomly. So do you kind of know some of the ways you can do it? It's like things people can do as they're going around the aisle to try to get, or do you not know those necessarily offhand?
Yeah. There's, sure. There are Jade Mist. Wait. Let me pull this up. Damn, I just... So many tabs.
Your tab's so small that you can only see the favicon for...
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. I just pray to God that you're using Chrome so that you have, like, multiple process for each of your tabs.
Yes. All right. Build up your things. Jewel crafting. No... Are you ready? Cool. How to prepare. Here we go.
Yes. No. Yes. Yeah. Question. No. You. Yeah. Yo. You. It's hot.
I got it.
It's hot. Yes. Got it. Go ahead.
Okay. I think we're good. Okay. Yeah, so there are a bunch, and you can pretty much get them from just going around and killing anything. Most of them drop from rares and rare elites. Leafmender up by all the burning... Yeah, over by Cinderfall and the Burning Berserkers, mm-hmm. All the Yongles, if you kill those little Spritelings up there, they will spawn occasionally. They have a chance at spawning a rare called Leafmender.
Ooh, I didn't know that's who you spawned. Good to know.
Yes, if you... They're like the battle pets, where if you kill the Spritelings, they have a chance. All the animal rares, they spawn when you kill the corresponding animal. So the snake, the death adder hatchling, mm-hmm. the imperial python rare, mm-hmm. that rare spawns when you kill the snakes.
Which are the biggest jerk, almost the biggest jerk dodo heads on the island.
Yes.
The biggest ones.
I'm just going to take away a quarter of your health every
The biggest
time.
Ones are the gulp frogs. I hate those the most.
No, just only pull one at a time, and they're fine. Pull three and you're dead.
Rufo's it up? No. And you're like trying to run. I want to get one attack. No, there's like five frogs all dodging you up with poison stacks.
Jade Mist Dancers I have farmed those for hours and hours.
Are those the guys down in the cave?
No, those are the guys on the northwest corner of the island.
By the pirate ship?
Yes, okay. By the pirate ship. They are spawning by all the steam. Uh-huh. If you just kill those, they have a chance at randomly dropping a pet. Uh-huh. The Spirit of Jade Fire, that's the one in the cave. Okay.
That's a rare ominous... spawn that spawns there.
Mm-hmm. Garnia is the one that drops the Ruby Droplet. Which is just the coolest looking pet ever.
Does it
ever,
look like
ever.
Garnia, or what does it look like?
I think so.
Okay. I got the beer one. The skanky ale elemental.
Yes. That one, I actually had a guildie. A guildie gave me.
Yeah, April gave me her extra one, and I was like, oh, cool.
And yes, the Ruby Droplet looks like Garnia. Okay. But it has a fantastic ability where it heals itself for 300% of the attack.
Oh.
Which is fantastic if you actually do pet battles.
Ah, okay.
Anyone, this is not on the Timeless Isle, but if you haven't killed, there's a new Dark Moon Fair pet. If you haven't killed Moonfang, there's a new pet called Moon Moon.
Hmm.
Just like the meme out there, if you haven't Googled Moon Moon, go Google Moon Moon. He's hilarious. He's a stupid wolf. Someone put a meme out. It's absolutely just hilarious. Go to Dark Moon Fair whenever it's around, and you kill some wolves, and after you kill enough wolves, a big wolf spawns, and you have a chance at a stupid wolf that does rainbow sparkles whenever it comes back to you. There's also a claw, a crab, and some other pets that spawn, a slug, and yeah, some other good things.
I'm guessing people can find these in a post on your blog. Am I right?
They can.
What's the name of the blog post in case anyone wants to go look for it?
Countdown to patch 5.4, making gold with 20 new tradable battle pets.
Ah, okay, cool. So keep going. Timeless Isle, what else do we got?
Okay, Timeless Isle. An interesting thing I did, you can also farm up some glyph recipes on the Timeless Isle that are only farmable on the Timeless Isle. They're bind on pickup. And
really, are you sure? Maybe you're right. I looked for the Rattleskew one on Wowhead. Seemed to think it was sellable, but I maybe they're wrong about that. Because I was going to start farming Rattleskew on my Death Knight because my Warlock's farming Garnia, but I was just going to leave her right by Rattleskew. But if so, then that would suck to have it drop.
Maybe I'll have to double check. Some of them were bind on pickup.
Because I'll swap her and put her over by Garnia and put my inscription is down by Rattleskew. Sorry, Rattleskew drops the pattern that turns a Death Knight's pet into a giant skeleton, which is really cool. And nobody on my server has it yet, I don't think, because it hasn't shown up on the auction house. But maybe I'll just wait for Connected Realms to come. Oh, we're going to talk about that later. any other pets that...
Let me make sure, because I'm pretty sure.
I looked at the comment section, and they said that one of the bottom comments about the glyph of the skeleton said that it seemed like you could farm it on somebody else's pet. All right, so there is a pet I know about, which is the pet from the eggs. Does that sound right? The egg baskets, the egg nests have a chance to give you a chick.
Oh, we're still talking about pets?
Yeah. No, I was trying to fill the time while you're trying to figure out if you can.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. yes. All right. While you're looking that up, I'm going to talk about what I've been doing with the Timeless Isle, which is that I actually found one of my characters had gathering. So she had mining and herbalism, but I also have mining and herbalism on another character, and it was my Death Knight, so I figured, well, I'll just put them on the same character, and I thought I was going to get a lot of herbs and ore in Mist Pandaria, but I didn't. So I'm getting rid of her two professions, and I picked up enchanting, because now I can disenchant cloth items on my one enchanter, leather items on my other enchanter, and now I can disenchant plate items. So all those tokens I'm getting on the aisle, I'm going to be able to disenchant 3 out of the 4 armor types. And I'm also considering keeping my mail tokens and possibly just banking them for now and possibly making them into, if I ever get a malware, that can ever disenchant. So it's not like that much money, but disenchanting the ones. And you had a post about that I'll let you talk about.
I literally have 5 of each of those posted on my bank tune.
Now that the yeah, Maybe I'll have some more bank space now that the connected realms are coming out, which we'll talk about as soon as we. So, did we? Do we have any final verdict, or is it still up in the air?
No, that's the final verdict. I literally have five of each of the Timeless Isle glyph recipes posted on my Banktune,
including the skeleton.
Oh, the glyph of the skeleton I didn't look up, but just the timeless.
I should just look it up on the end of my journal.
That's what
I looked at my that's browser. What I just looked up. My browser had want to buy gold.
It's so whoa, 11,000 gold for that recipe.
You're seeing the recipe for skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
That solves it. Boom, baby. You can farm it. What I was going to do is I figured I would let my Death Knight have the pain of farming Rattleskew, which is a rare spawn that drops that. If she really wants the skeleton, which she does, because she's unholy, so she wants to have a really cool, huge... It's like one of those huge skeletons from Wrath of the Lich King that used to be like out in the waste areas, but it's got like really cool armor on it. So, good times.
All right. Well, sorry for the misinformation. Now that I'm actually...
No, it's just good to know because that way I can leave my my inscription up, my warlock up at Garnia, and then that helps get April up to there. If Garnia spawns, I can be like, hey, wait for two people to fly in on the birds and summon her. All right. So also there's a possibility of making gold in the Timeless Isle with... disenchanting.
Yes.
You did some experiments. You want to talk a little bit about this?
Sure. This was a lot of fun experimenting. So you can disenchant the Timeless Armor on the Timeless Isle.
Now, I have a question. You have to make it into a piece of armor, right? You can't just disenchant the token?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So,
because I was going to waste my time leveling that enchanter, if I could just send somebody to. So you have to be able to wear the armor and also craft it or what would you call that? Activate it, create it, I guess, and then disenchant it.
Yes. And so you have to be able to turn it into armor and then disenchant the armor, and it was a lot of fun doing the testing. Because I just went in there and on my raiding tune and blew up some Yongles, and I was expecting, you go in there and on the Timeless Isle when you're leveling or you're just playing around and it seems like your bags just get overflowed with all this loot. Like before you know it, your bags are just completely full. But when you actually get there with a pen and paper and you start recording what you get, it's really actually not that impressive.
there's nothing like observation to ruin a nice little mental pattern that we have in our heads. Like,
oh my God, I'm so rich. Let me record how rich I am. Oh, I'm not that.
Yeah, well,
okay.
GSM added that ability to see your gold over time, the little graph of your gold.
Mm-hmm.
That's what helped me actually understand that, I was making 3,000 gold every couple days, but I was also spending 3,000 gold every day posting items. So every couple days posting items. So I was actually just treading water, and I realized this is a waste of my time. But all right, so you're out.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so I went out and killed a couple of the burning berserkers to test because they're really easy. They're the easiest highest level mob to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And you can try to kill the kiln masters, but they're a little tricky. So killed them. And turns out you can only get one timeless, you get about two timeless armor pieces per hour if you farm them.
Mm-hmm.
And DE-ing that, you get two shot crystals, maybe three if you get a prop.
Off of each, that's two, two items, one from each item and maybe two if you get lucky.
Yeah. So so that's, that's 300 gold.
That's like a massive GPH.
yeah, not fantastic. Because they only have combined about 3% drop rate of the Timeless Armor.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent some time adding up all the Timeless Armor drop rates of the rares, and you can find a little spreadsheet on my blog of the drop rates for all of the rares for Timeless Armor pieces. And turns out the rares have between 15, about an average of a 30% drop rate, up to a 60% drop rate for Timeless Armor pieces. So if you're really good at farming rares, you can go around and get 9, 10 plus Shaw Crystals per hour. Mm-hmm. So I went around and was like, well, this is much more Shaw Crystals per hour. So I did that and tested that. And I was like,
that's my favorite way, because a lot of people showed me the ways. You were probably one of the people included, showed me the ways of an add-on called Rare Coordinator, which is very fantastic. And there's also Rare Overlay, Rare Spawn Overlay, I think it's called. And that also helps. Of course, once you've been on the aisle for a week or something, you memorize where all the mobs are. But that's so cool.
But then when you go out there and you're just doing rare farming and you're really going at it, you kind of ignore everything else. But then the problem is that the rares don't drop any other loot. So you're just getting the Timeless Armor, and so you get 10 Shaw Crystals, and 10 Shaw Crystals is about the same as the loot you were getting with the greens and the cloth and the 2 Shaw Crystals you were getting from the Burning Berserkers. So you're still at about 2,000 gold an hour, and so you're still ending up at about 2,000, 3,000 GPH, and it's just not really worth your time. It's fun. You're enjoying the Timeless Isle.
But if
and like
all you're
you said,
doing it for is the gold, that's not necessarily the best way to do it.
Yeah, but it's like you said in the last, I think it was the last podcast you did. You know, the Timeless Isle, I really liked what you said. You said it's like a big playground. You know, it's just, the Timeless Isle is fun.
Yeah.
If you're not doing anything else, you're not raiding, you're not, just go out there and have a good time.
Hulan's up, you're checking your rare coordinator, he's at 60%, you're just barely going up the ramp, you're hoping there's no rares there then, and you like literally are crossing the bridge, he's at 10%, and you're like, just hold on, and you're like trying to find out which is your longest range attack you can do, like in the minute that you get within range, because you want to get...
Yeah. Stormbolt. The best thing that I found to do to make gold on the Timeless Isle was to go out and farm up about 13,000 Timeless Coins, get a big group together, spend an hour farming Timeless Coins, turn those into Moga Runes, and then get a decent raid team together, guild group if you can, get on Vent, and then go run Throne of Thunder. And if you run Throne of Thunder, coin every boss, that'll get you about 4 pieces of loot from that.
Does that give you an extra roll for extra loot? Or how does that... Yes. I'm not a raider, so I don't know exactly how that works, but...
Yeah, the Moga coins gives you an extra roll on every piece of loot.
Okay.
So what'll happen, it gives you a 25% chance of getting loot. And it, you know, you'll either get gold, you know, 50, 89, 29.83 gold, and you get gold or you get loot. And if you get loot, then you DE it, and you get a Shaw Crystal, and you get a Haunting Spirit. And you might get an extra Haunting Spirit, or you might get an extra Shaw Crystal.
Do the Haunting Spirits come from the boss drops, or is it when you disenchant a certain type of item? I don't know how those...
Every Haunting Spirit, every time you disenchant a normal Throne of Thunder gear, you get a Haunting Spirit.
Ah, interesting. Nice.
And so you run Throne of Thunder, and you just kill all the bosses in there. and you get loot.
This is assuming you have a raid group, but there's a lot of people that have obviously that raid, so that's really nice.
Well, no, and you don't even all you have to do is download the add-on OQ, and you just put in like running Throne of Thunder, fresh Throne of Thunder, and within 30 seconds, a minute or two, you will get enough people hugging you for...
Now, is Throne of Thunder an older raid? Is it... I'm just giving all my lack of knowledge of raiding in...
It's the previous raid.
Okay,
the
one so 5.3 raid?
Yeah, 5.3 raid.
Cool.
And so, on the interesting thing with the changes in cooldowns, what happened with Blood Spirits... Blood Spirit prices just absolutely bottomed out.
Mm-hmm.
Right after, within 2 weeks or a month, Blood Spirit prices bottomed out. Haunting Spirit prices didn't because of the changes to the way crafting mats happened and with Flex coming in and just more people are needing to gear up. It's just really kind of interesting. And so because of all those changes, Haunting Spirit prices are staying pretty steady. So you can still sell a Haunting Spirit for 1,000, 1,500 gold. So you go in there and you'll get a regular... You'll walk out of there with 5 to 6 pieces of gear. And if you don't need that gear, just DE it all and you'll get 10,000, 15,000 gold. And so that's the best way. And, you're having fun. You're raiding with your friends.
Yeah. Thank you for that. See, that's the type of thing that I love to see when people are thinking about things in ways that maybe not normally thinking about it. So it's pretty awesome. Good job. All right, let's move on from the Timeless Isle. Let's move on. Unless you have any last things you wanted to say about that was
damn you Garnia.
All right, so the last, we got a couple more topics. Well, we have one. This is kind of, well, let's just move on to the next topic. The next topic I wanted to talk about is Connected Realms. This is something I've been really, I don't want to say excited about, but I've been interested in, initially for, how it was going to affect the economies. I was actually pretty excited to have Marco Kogler from Blizzard's, the technical director for World of Warcraft on the episode, previous episode of the podcast, to ask him about it. And now that we've actually started to see the realms connected, I did a post about how this realm sizes were with some of the first, like the first major batch of connecting, which is like on October 21st last week they did it. I personally found out that my realm's is on the block to be connected at some point, which is the first time I've seen my own realm connected. They say that there's a chance that it won't happen and that, it's not for sure, but it's kind of on the list. Actually, I'm a little bit excited about the Connected Realms, and the reason I'm excited about them. So we're going to talk about the pros of the Connected Realms and the cons. So start off with the pros. One of the things I'm excited about for the Connected Realms, and I did a post about this on Powered Gold today, was that I'll be able to finally have more alts. I'm excited. If this realm gets connected to my realm, I'll have 11 new character slots that'll be able to be in my guilds. So I have a level 25 guild on the Alliance and I have a level 7 guild on the Horde. So my guess is that the majority of the new alts would be Horde so that I can level up and help that guild get leveled up. I'm kind of stubborn and I like to do things by myself. So, I've even gone as far as to... start brand new undead character. Well, no, hold on. This is a little side tip here. I had two accounts going at the same time. I would start two new undead characters, invite them both to the guild, level them from 1 to 15, and then delete them, and then do that over and over again to level my guild, because all of the level 1 quests gave, oh, 1 to 15 quests gave you like 60,000 at guild XP. And wow. I did two at a time, so I was getting twice as much. But nowadays it seems like it's quite a bit easier to level your guilds. My guild, without really trying on my horde side, from just leveling my three horde characters, is like level 7 or something. But, so I'm excited because if the realms are connected, 11 more alts. That's also a possibility of 11 more professions. I'm not saying I'm going to level up 11 more level 90s. Fat Loots did a post today about how it would be possible. Some of these realms are connected to there's one realm that's going to be four realms connected together. In the new batch of realm connections. And he had also mentioned if there was five realms that got connected together, for example, and he had linked to a blue post, about saying that you could have basically character cap, which is 50 characters across all realms. You could have them all on one connected realm.
Yeah, it looks like Stone Maul, Blood Scalp, Maeve, Boulder Fist, and Dune Maul.
Okay. So that so looks there are like going to be five. One. Yeah, so he was basically theorizing that you could, if you are crazy enough, and I don't ever underestimate the craziness of Goldmakers, or the, how would you describe it, the enthusiasm or or creativity of Goldmakers, but imagine if, you know, we've all seen the 10 boxers or the 8 boxers or the tri boxers, or, you know, with everybody who's got like 6 people.
50 engineering mounts.
Yeah. 50 engineering mounts, you know, all those kind of things. Inscription, you know, you could make, essentially, you know, those scrolls like way faster if you wanted to make cards. Like, I don't know if that's still valuable, but just imagine, you know, down the road. So he was kind of theorizing that it might be something where in certain situations you could have this army of alts that could all just be feeding into this, he called it some sort of like bulk, you know, kind of, you know, brute force. That's what he used, brute force kind of thing. And I'm not necessarily too worried about that. I'm just excited in my own little way of like, excited about these connected realms. So the positives, the pros of connected realms, obviously I would think, you know, I get 8 more characters, which is pretty cool. You know, there's possibly going to be some new loot I can get from the, you know, I daily go out and scan the auction house and try to find 83 to 84 items, which is about the only one of my flipping markets I'm still actively doing. And also positive is that there's also going to be a whole new group of people that could buy my items. So that's good. What do you think are some of the pros of connected realms? And do you play on one? Do you think you'll play on one? Maybe are you on a high population realm, so you probably won't? Or
I'm on kind of a middle population server that kind of bounces around between middle high and middle low. So I don't really know. I'll probably end up getting connected at some point.
I guess it ultimately is based on what they see. Because like in that post I did, I had a graph of all the 247 realms. And it kind of like had this low, and then it had this long middle point with about 50,000 each. And then it kind of went up to the 200,000s.
Yeah, it was really interesting that there were some that got merged into pretty high territory.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And that really surprised me.
And that was one of my original thoughts of how, you know, are they going to make like 10 mega servers, or are they going to just bring low to mid up? Like bring it up from low population servers to mid population servers? But I wonder if their ultimate vision is to eventually have every server seem like a high population server. I mean, it seems like that would be good. Like if there's always people in WoW, are good for them. Good for them. But it's just kind of interesting. I think I might have underestimated how much they're willing to connect together when they've already did 5 realms connected together. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah. No, it's fine. And it looks like in the next round here, like Gul'dan, Skullcrusher, and Black Dragonflight. Those are 3 of the absolute lowest population servers they have, I think. I get Realm Pop-Up. They have total 12,000 players on them. They have 12,000, 13,000, and 15,000 players on them, total, whereas, yeah, like, that's not level 90, that's total players. Uh-huh. So that's abysmal. So those, that's good that they're merging three together. It's nice to see them taking action there. Because it's sad to see Realms that dead. I think it's good, like you said, to get more action gold making wise in the auction house. One thing I've been doing recently has been creating level one tunes and participating in transmog markets in PvP servers.
Yeah.
And like just scanning, doing like PvP WoW auction servers.
Why would it be a PvP server? Why would you?
RP servers.
RP servers. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. RP servers and doing like just WoW auction bargain hunter and just scanning the auction house, reposting, and then logging out. And eventually, once I get enough money, I'll just transfer, buy a pet, and transfer the pet back to my, you know, doing a little arbitrage.
Yeah,
there.
That's pretty much exactly what I had been doing on the side. With my two servers that were both RP. Imagine that. The two servers that ended up having good transmog sales was RP servers. So that's pretty cool.
But with one thing I've noticed differently was that there's so much more transmog. Like, there are a lot higher population servers that I've been doing this on.
Yeah, so
there's so much more transmog stuff available there.
Yeah.
And it's so much higher priced. Even there's so many fewer deals available there.
Yeah.
Than on my home realm, that I'm just kind of worried that the deals available are maybe as more people come in, you know, the deals may it'll be a little bit harder.
This is the classic low population advantage type of thing that we were talking a little bit about a little bit earlier. So the cons of the connected realms, I think I don't necessarily see that I'll have much way of problems, because the markets I'm in, the flipping markets, are generally kind of, you know, unknown or lesser known. Although, you know, if I go to random servers and I see that people are using the same exact prices for these 83 items as me, I'm like, that's cool. People read my blog, I guess. But for, I think people that are in gem markets, glyph markets, possibly even enchanting scroll markets, are going to have a lot of really interesting days when now not just your, like, especially because people that are in gem and glyph markets try to push everybody out, and now they're going to have people like, there's me, two of them, and then two more are people from the other server, or in the case of like that one server that's got five servers together, it's like it's going to have like five. It's just going to be really strange for, it seems like it would be an interesting time to be a major glyph seller on a low population realm. But
if there wasn't anyone selling glyphs,
your mechanism could churn you out more profit, even though it's less per item, but more sales, because you'll have five. Imagine these on these five times the market for your glyphs. And if your situation is, it's just, I don't know. It's really strange.
I think one of the biggest, You did a post a while back on low pop servers and high pop servers, and kind of comparing them.
Yeah.
And I looked into some of them afterwards, and it was just really interesting to see how sparse the
cupboards are bare.
Yeah, like
a lot of those, it's like, oh, yeah, this is this much gold on this server, this much gold, and there's none on this server, and none on this server. Sorry.
Like, there was ghost iron ore,
yeah,
but there wasn't there weren't any Trillium bars mm-hmm. on the auction house. And just the fact that there...
You could transfer those. Yeah.
How do you not have Trillium bars on the auction house? Like, people need that.
Yeah.
But it kind of brings up, since people need Trillium bars, are they just selling that in trade chat? Are they buying it from guilds? And now, since you're connecting the realms and there are enough people, are the people who are so used to buying back, like, if people are used to buying within their guild or buying in trade chat or however they're used to doing it, I don't know, because I've never played.
Yeah,
are they going to have to get used to buying on the auction house?
Well,
I don't know.
I think ultimately it's going to... Obviously, it's going to flatten out a lot of the prices, or even out a lot of the prices for across all these realms, because the market will just naturally do that.
The invisible hand.
Just really quick before I forget, my realm, which has 79,000 characters, so about 80,000 characters, is connecting with a realm that is got 50,000 characters. So my realm will now have 130,000 characters, which is, you know, quite interesting, and actually pops it up. So it's not like ours aren't too small realms. And I was just going to do some real-time feedback here. I was just going to look up the realm on WoW auction really quick. My realm overview for my realm says that our realm right now is for our alliance is about 41 out of 492, and we're in about even population between Horde and Alliance. So we're about 41st out of 492 realms. I did a post on the kind of the ranking of your server as well. I'm just going to look up this other one and see how they rank. Oh, okay. So their rank for their alliance, which is also about even 50% of their server, is 207. So I wonder if you could do like some math to figure out from 40 to 207, like we'll probably end up in like, you know, it'll oh, it's just really interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that pans out with the WoW auction, like when they're all connected up. Oh my gosh, imagine the URLs for, how are they going to do that? I don't even want to know. Like, how's WoW auction and the Undermine Journal going to deal with connected realms, or are they just going to list them as the original realms, but then their auctions will be multiplied? Oh, I don't want to think about that. All right. Because that's really interesting.
One thing we talked about a little bit before the show, though, was that for anyone worried about having more competition, it maybe isn't going to be that big of a deal, though, because like as you have more competition, yes, your prices may drop down a little bit more, mm-hmm. but it's not necessarily going to be that big of a deal, because you're the speed at which you sell things will increase.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the what is it, the velocity of money is you know, the speed at which you sell is
you'll get less margin per item, but you'll make it up in volume because you'll be selling more often.
Yeah.
All right. I'm kind of excited. You'll have to, you know, you don't have to necessarily tell us, but it'll be interesting to see as more of these realms get connected, you know, how it affects it. And ultimately, I mean, this is one of the most exciting things to happen in gold making in the last while, because
definitely
it's pushing gold makers out of their comfort zones and making them think in different ways. And maybe if you were somebody who played equally on high population servers and low population servers, you would have the experience to know, like, I know what a high population server is, I know what a low pop, but a lot of us just play on one or two servers, and we don't really have that much experience with different sizes. So because what my favorite part of making gold in the game is learning and adjusting, and the fact that the economy is always changing. And so if you're a good gold maker, you'll adjust. And if, If not, just who knows? Maybe some of your competition that's maybe half-hearted about it will just be like, oh man, our realm's connected, blah. I'm not going to sell my Ghost Iron Dragonlings anymore. Sweet. more for the people that are doing it. And a lot of these changes, no matter, you know, a lot of patches and other things, if a gold maker just did what they are always do, they get the benefits usually of any of these changes. Like if you're just selling gems and a patch comes out and, oh, I hear a dog. Just keep doing what you're doing. And, let us know if you're on one of these connected realms and you have a story about the experience of, you know, what happened with your economy, and you'd like to write a guest post for Power Word Gold or WTB Gold, or I mean, Want to Buy Gold, you can send me an email at powerwordgold@yahoo.com if you're interested in kind of writing a first person account of what's going on, or you can get a hold of, Reckles here. Do you have a public email address?
I do. It's wtbgold@live.com.
Okay, awesome, awesome. All right, now let's push into our last topic, shall we, my friend?
Yes.
Okay. Let's. Connected Realms. I'm so excited. I'm so excited because it literally. Oh, that was the other thing I forgot to mention. Heirlooms. Maybe I did talk about that. I'll finally be able to use my heirlooms that I've been stacking up in my banks. And also more bag space, because now I'll have all new alts with all new bags and banks. And, you know, that would be pretty cool. All right. So the last thing I wanted to talk about that we wanted to talk about was the end of the expansion. And do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, end of the expansion, what to expect, kind of the slowdowns? You had mentioned this as a topic. Do you want to – what do you have to say about this particular – topic of kind of coming to the end of the expansion and what gold makers can expect and how they should think about it?
Well, we're just kind of at a lot of people, even though WoW has, you know, we've lost so many subscriptions. What do we do?
Oh, wait. Hold your thought.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's fine.
By the way, I just want to put these connected realms in perspective. If this was happening in 2004, this would be a failure of World of Warcraft. Any MMO that was around in 2004, 2005, 2006 and had these big budgets and big launches and then later had to merge realms were always bashed for, oh, you got to connect the realm, or not connect, you got to merge the realms, oh, your game's failing. Because, you know, keeping servers around is expensive. And so when there's low population realms in other games, they would just have to merge them. Blizzard has kind of dodged some of that because they're not – one of the problems with merging realms is that you would have to get new name. If people played Rift, I had to change my name on some of my characters like two or three times as they kept merging the realms together. Blizzard's probably going to escape some of that, but really don't – confuse connected realms with what they really are, which is realm merges. And realm merges only happen for one reason, and that's because of loss of population. But I think that they might kind of skate by a little bit on it if they can do it in their own Blizzard style, you know, not have to have you change the names, not have to, you know, not have to, you know, make it. People logging into the game won't really notice anything different. Right? Except for more people. So they did it in their own Blizzard way, but make no mistake that I'm sure if it was up to Blizzard, they would have loved that if every realm had been able to stay high population, because that would mean that they're making more money. So I think they're just adjusting to the realities of the game slowing down in population. I'm sure it's still very, very profitable. But I wanted to just bring that perspective in because in the past, merging realms was always considered a taboo and a failure of a game. So, all right. Sorry.
Okay.
Now moving on to the end of the experience.
And my last thing on connected realms, I've always played on my home realm, and starting these tunes on these higher pop servers, I've gotten to see some of the higher pop servers, and I'm excited about connected realms because the higher pop servers are really exciting. Like, it's a lot of fun to see
people
Stormwind.
In the city.
bustling. Like, trade chat is just flying by, and people are going by on these awesome mounts, and you see these amazing transmogs that people have spent hundreds of thousands of gold on. And it's just fun to see a really busy city. Yeah. So if every realm is like that, I think people are going to start telling their friends about WoW more.
Mm, good point. And I also, I had something I was going to think about and I just totally lost it. I forgot.
Dance break.
Dance. Did you hear I asked Dr. Marco Kogler about the dance studio? Maybe they'll give us a customized UI maybe after the dance studio. And he said, no, it'll upgraded to the auction UI. He said, well, probably before the dance studio comes out. So, all right. End of the expansion.
Yeah. So
sorry, I didn't mean to
since a lot of people haven't, Pandaria brought a lot of new subscribers in, and since a lot of gold makers and a lot of players maybe haven't experienced the end of an expansion before, they might be saying, "Oh, so I just went into Siege of Ogremoor and I've killed Garrosh now." Maybe in LFR, maybe in Flex, maybe in normal mode. If you kill them in normal mode, congratulations! He's really hard there. you kill the boss, and then, you know, afterwards, you're kind of left with this feeling of, so, what now?
What you do?
And you just kind of, you know, you go about posting your auctions and you maybe go questing or roll an alt and queue for LFR again next week. But you kind of, you know, you don't know what's coming next, mm-hmm. and there isn't anything coming next, and you go, you just don't, there's this kind of doldrums of you don't have anything to do other than keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
So just the key to an end of expansion is really just hang in there until BlizzCon.
Well, by the time they hear this, they won't have that much longer to wait. So
yeah, but it's because, trust me, Blizzard has your back. Blizzard is awesome. They've always got an ace in the hole. They've always got something up their sleeve. Like, Dragon Soul was a drag. It was exciting, you know, just find something to bide your time. Try, set a goal, mm-hmm. for, you know, if you're a raider, say, I want to kill Garrosh on heroic mode, or I want to kill Immersius on heroic mode, or, you know, I want to kill Garrosh on normal mode. If, you know, set some goal.
Or I want to make a million gold before the expansion.
I want to make a million gold if gold making is your game.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get Lore Master. I want to get something.
Yeah, that was fun. I did that at the end of Wrath Lich King. I'm like, I'm gonna get Lore Master before they let you fly in the old world.
Oh, wow.
So that was fun. But yeah, if you know, so much of these games, like you mentioned, is about goals, and you have to have some sort of carrot to keep you motivated a lot of times. And the thing that's really awesome about World of Warcraft, and I've said it a lot of times before, but it's like it's in the theme park style. World of Warcraft is like Disneyland. You know, you go there, there's lots of different things to do. Some people are, you know, going on the Matterhorn. Some people are going in Space Mountain. Some people are going in Dumbo's Ride. Some people are going in Splash Mountain. You know, there's all these different ways to play the game and all these different things to do. And me, who likes to level characters, and I used to like to do dungeons till Mr. Pandaria kind of killed that love for me. make gold, level characters and making gold is kind of my thing. So, you know, at the end of the expansion, because I'm going to get a new realm. Wow, cool. I can level characters and actually have them feel like they're useful to me and not just, well, there's some characters that are on another server and, you know, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really affect my main server, so don't really care about it. But, you know, if there's, you know, if you're not, yeah, change it up, I guess is my advice. Change it up. Look for other things to do. And I did notice that, kind of in certain times of a certain patches, like, you know, alt gear started selling better, I think, because people stopped playing their main raiding characters and started to level their alts, because, you know, that's something else to do. So go ahead.
I love the Disneyland thing, like, especially now, because, you know, it's like you can ride, you know, once you've ridden all the rides, what are you going to do? I don't know. Go try all the different kinds of cotton candy. Figure out something.
Well, and like the weird thing, you know, the thing for me is that I still have a lot of stuff I've missed. And I think out of all the patches, I always felt like I was behind because I didn't – when 5.1 came out, I was still leveling to 90, so I didn't do 5.1. And then when 5.2 came out, I didn't go do the, you know, whatever because I was still – I think was 5.2 the Isle of Thunder? 5.1 was Shield Wall, yes. 5.2 Isle of Thunder, 5.3 was the Thunder God? Like, I don't know. Anyways, all the kind of like lore questing and stuff like that I didn't really do, but Timeless Isle I think hits it perfect because you don't have to really do anything that special, you just have to go to the island and go run around. Whereas, you know, I didn't ever really get into, I know other people did, get into the, and I think if you're playing on less alts, you know, if you only have one or two main characters and especially if you're raiding, like the bigger the carrot that's further down, the more you'll actually do the stuff that's in between. But because I didn't have PvP or raiding as any kind of carrots I ever wanted to really follow, I didn't really have any motivation to do any of that kind of stuff. But, yeah. So for what about gold making though? What's your kind of advice for gold makers as the expansion's kind of coming to a close? Do you have any things that you thinking about doing at the end of the expansion to kind of, you know, clear out the cupboards or store up stuff or?
Yeah, I'm focusing less on current mats and more on transmog and old mats. Honestly, just raw materials seem to be selling really well right now.
Do you think that's because of the new changes to the way you can level up herbalism and mining in Pandaria without ever having to go to the old world? Or maybe you hadn't thought of that.
No, it surprises me. I was talking to a friend and he just sold, he's been posting Serenite ore for 90 gold a stack for the past 3 days, and he's been just keeping it stocked, and people have been buying it and buying it and
I just bought Serenite to make jewelry to disenchant into dust so that I could actually level my enchanting, because there's so much infinite dust that you need to get at that level. And maybe it's a combination of people leaving the game, and I love that people can find those little niche markets like that.
But yeah, so I've got about 3,000 auctions that I'm reposting twice a day right now. So I'm trying
twice a day. But are they transmog?
Some are transmog, some are green, some are So I'm just trying to unload some of that because it takes a while.
Yeah,
TSM is amazing, but
I actually found out that I got to the point in my 87 to 88s where I just like sold them to the vendor because you actually get between 15 to 20 gold a piece that way. So when I got out of that market, I was like, I'm just gonna take them to the vendor and sell them. And for reposting fees on those were kind of high. That's what I was telling you a little earlier about how I noticed how much I was spending reposting. Like, I think for 83s and 87s, like those ones up there, I think it was averaged about 8 gold per repost, per item. So that adds up pretty quick. As long as I'm selling that ins, it's, you know, it's not a big deal. So do you have anything that you're planning to save and not sell now, but you want to sell later?
No, no, not really, actually. How about you?
I have a lot of living steel, and I like to sell it if it gets to about 600 gold or so, but not much lower. So if I don't sell my living steel at that price, I'm not sad and I'll just keep it. I won't sell it right. You don't want to really sell your mats right at the beginning of the next expansion because everybody's getting rid of their mats out of their bank at that point. So maybe a couple months into the next expansion, I'll look at, you know, possibly selling it. Other than that, I have a lot of ghost iron I bought. I kind of went a little crazy and bought something like 315 stacks, which maybe to some people doesn't seem like a lot, but, you know, it's a lot to me.
No, that's any number over 100 is a lot.
That's all in my bank. And you know, the nice thing that they've changed over time is that ghost iron can be used for so many different things that it's always going to have some sort of use. Usually if I don't have any necessarily need to clear out the bank, like if I don't have, I don't know, I might clear out some of the old stuff that's just been, I wish there was something you could do that's like, show me everything in my bank that's been sitting there for more than a year or something like that. Like I just need to go through and just
like sort by time.
Yeah. Pick out,
that would be nice.
Pick and choose out all the little items like that are in there. But other than that, not really. I have two guild banks on the Alliance and one on the Horde. So, but I'm not so heavy into as much professions. I've been really disappointed in the PvP gear, and I think it all just breaks down because of the
Timeless Isle.
Yeah, Timeless Isle. Yeah. Nobody's really buying. I am selling a few blacksmithing pieces here and there, but. Yeah, I don't know, especially with the new realm coming to be merged at some point and there being even more, you know. I've kind of started to get out of markets, not necessarily because they're losing me money or I'm not making money, but just because I just don't want to spend the time to do them anymore. And so.
Well, I think it's partly Timeless Isle and partly the crafted, the belts and everything are so cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can get a 553 belt for 15k, whereas before, the epic belts, or the epic legs, I think.
Are you talking about PvP items?
No, no, okay. The crafted
right here. Cloth and blacksmithing epics that you learn from doing the new cooldowns?
Yeah, the crafted raid gear from 522 gear from before, that was, you know, those were selling for 40k and 50k and 60k. And, you know, now the equivalent items for 5.4 are selling for 15k and 17k. So you can, you know, save up a little bit, you know, go out and go mining for a little bit and buy yourself, buy yourself entry into LFR, run an LFR on a new tune, and really the LFR gear is good enough to go in, you know, PvE gear is good enough to do okay in PvP.
Okay. Interesting. But other than that, well, see, Blizzard's possibly giving me... I said I like to level characters, and I like to... I'm going to have to start sacrificing some of my characters on my old realms, because I did hit my 50-tune cap at one point. And they're scattered, and, you know, I have... Not many of them are over level... Most of them are all under level 30 or something like that. I was creating a character because somebody was doing a tutoring session. I was doing a tutoring session with them, so I was making a character on their server, and it's like, you have all your characters. Like, you can't make any new characters. I'm like, oh, okay. go delete these ones, delete these ones, and delete these ones. But, so I don't know. Maybe what I'll do is I'll have a project to create the perfect set of characters and professions. You know, like I get to start over from scratch, you know. 11 characters. How would I set up the professions if I was doing it? Maybe, and I'll, you know, pretend like I'm starting all over from the beginning. At least, I don't know. That sounds like a fun project. Something like that. I just like playing the game. I just like having fun playing the game.
That's fun.
All right. Well, I think that we are going to be wrapping it up here. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about as far as the end of the expansions before we?
Well, I do have two fun projects that I would like to do, fun little collaborations that I'd like to do with other gold bloggers. And I kind of wanted to ask the audience which they'd like to see first. So, you know, give us your feedback in the comments below. one idea that I'd like to that I'm gonna start up and put the invite out to everyone. Let me know when everyone's available. But I'd like to start kind of a friendly competition. Get started on a server. Every gold blogger starts a level 1 tune, and we have a friendly, like, 1 week or 2 week
competition.
You keep
saying this word friendly. I don't think you know. I don't think this word means what you think it means.
What? No, none of us are competitive. I don't know what you're talking about. But all gold bloggers, open invitation. We start a level 1 tune on a random server, and we go out with 0 gold, and we see at the end of 1 week or 2 weeks or whatever who can get the most gold. And then we can each write a post about it and what strategies we use to start from nothing and get to where we got. And it could be a great idea, great post for, you know, new gold makers getting into the game. You know, we're going to have a new expansion soon, so we're going to have some new people getting into the game. And, you know, a lot of people ask, you know, hey, I'm starting with not a lot of gold. How do I build up a bankroll? How do I get going? How do I enter the market? And so here's our chance to say, hey, here are some great ways. Here's what I like to use to build up a bankroll. Here's what I like to use. Here's a good market for not having a lot of money. And here's what I do. I do mining. I do skinning. I do transmog. I do this. I do that. And so open invitation for any gold blogger. Email me, comment on the blog, Twitter, and that. And then another collaboration I'd like to do is a raid, a 10-man TOT raid with y'all. We can stream it. I don't do a lot of streaming, but I think it would be a lot of fun to see. You know, we all know how to make gold, but let's see if we know how to kill bosses. I know Jim here is fantastic.
Hey, just because I don't raid doesn't mean I've never raided. So,
no, but I think that would be fantastic to get 10 of us in a room together, get Fat Loots, get Goblin Rasset, get Dubistote, get, you know, there's a guy who does gold blogging and YouTube videos for, he does them in Spanish, called El Goblin, which is fantastic. I love that guy. You know, get a bunch of us together and, you know, just go in Throne of Thunder and, you know, kill some bosses. Don't have to clear the whole thing, but, you know, record it and have a good time. Have some laughs.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
But yeah, so let me know which one y'all would like to see first, and we'll try to make it happen.
So leave a comment on the post for this podcast, or if you're not listening to this podcast from the post, you can send a mail to wtbgold@live.com.
Or Twitter.
Or Twitter. Ryan A. Eccles. E-C-K-L-E-S. Am I right?
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, Reckles, I want to thank you so much for being on the show, episode number 74 of the Power Word Gold podcast. Why don't you go ahead and let people know how they can find more from you?
You can find me at wanttobuygold.blogspot.com. That's WTB Gold. My Twitter is at Ryan A. Eccles, E-C-K-L-E-S. And my YouTube is WTB Gold Wow. And I also have circles. Yes, but I don't know how to. I don't know how to click circles.
Maybe there's a link to it on your blog somewhere, or maybe there will be.
Actually, there is. Up in my blog has a bunch of things in the top right. So just go to the blog and in the top right, click everything in the top.
Click all the things.
Click all of the things, and then take a dance break.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for having me, Jim. Really appreciate it.
We'll have to have you back on the show.
I would love that.
And again, I'm Jim Youngkin from Power Word Gold. You can find our blog and podcast at powerwordgold.net. You can find us on our live streams. Head over and follow us at twitch.tv/Jim Youngkin. That's spelled Younkin. You can follow and interact with us on Twitter, Power Word Gold. You can like and interact with us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/powerwordgold. You can subscribe to our YouTube at youtube.com/powerwordgold. And you can join our Google. You can circle us in Google Plus by doing google.com/plus powerwordgoldnet. That's so silly. And the plus is a plus sign, which is not something you obviously see in URLs, but Google's Google. So, and we're at powerwordgold.tumblr. Follow us on Tumblr. I want to see if anybody actually watches us there. Favorite us, I guess, on Tumblr. I don't know. I'm getting better. I'm getting better at the Tumblrs. So, and thanks for listening to the show, everybody. And thank you again, Reckles, for being on the show. And we'll see you guys later. Bye-bye. Now I have something to put at the beginning of the podcast. do you listen to the podcast, I guess, is the question I should ask.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do.
Okay, good. Oh, man, I've been listening to so many podcasts. I have, like, I'm going to see how many I have. 25 different podcasts that I subscribe to. And I think probably in a week I'll probably listen to about 6 or 7 podcasts.